All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have with us Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Bob is one of the longest sponsors of this show. And before we go to Bob, just want you to know that right now the United States is going through an extreme drought. Here in Texas, we are getting multiple different towns that are announcing that they're quickly running out of water, even one that has said that they have ran out of usable water for the population of their town. Now, even Las Vegas is announcing they only have about 30 days worth of water for the town. So we're about to get into some hurt, of course, right before midterm elections, all this craziness starts. And we want to bring Bob on so Bob can talk to us about some of the best made practices that are out there for storing water, for purifying water, places that if prophecy hit the fan, you can find water and maybe even just the different types of way that we can distill it. So, Bob, thank you very much for showing up today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Every time me and you are on, people are leaving comments left and right saying that they've learned so much. And I think you bring such a great gift to the audience with the knowledge that you have, because you're one of the premier guys out there on prepping. And, you know, if you don't know this, you can actually go to readymaderesources.com. Bob has a tremendous amount of preparedness stuff, and you can even call Bob and ask him about your own preparedness evaluation, which honestly, Bob, no one does that, you know, and I know it's out of the heart of God that you do that. So thank you very much for people. So, Bob, let's get into it, man. What do we do about drought?
Okay, well, first of all, we have to realize, again, let's get the intelligence part of it down. You know, as a nation forsake God Almighty, as we abandon his law, as we mock his rules for life, and we just go diametrically opposed to everything he says is right, we go in the opposite direction and pursue with all of our hearts the evil. We watch throughout history over and over again, God uses natural disaster to get our attention. Like, hey guys, you're going the wrong way. And we have to understand right now, is every natural disaster a result of mankind's sin? Well, and the big question, theological answer to that is yes. But specifically, not every earthquake, not every drought, not everything like that is a result of a specific sin that a nation has done. Although our nation, which has abandoned all belief in God now, our military is eviscerating it. Obviously, the educational system's eviscerated. News media wants to eviscerate it. It's even being eviscerated inside of our churches, you know, to our churches no longer preach the biblical gospel. We can expect God in his nature, that which is holy, to bring judgment on the land. So that's the first and foremost thing we have to understand, is that we are probably seeing a manifestation of God's judgment brought upon us. I'm not going to say for sure it is, but I would say in conjunction with everything else, the invasion on our southern and northern border, the devaluation of our money, the complete breakup of our family, the fact that we have our enemy agents being infiltrating our country, the Chinese. We're in perpetual war. We have sexually transmitted disease rate of about 30% of Americans. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on like this and just say these are all signs. When I see all those coming together and happening over and over in an increasing amount, I would just say there's a good chance that nation is falling under God's judgment. And I would say that we are in late stage judgment right before an absolute catastrophic collapse of the nation. So I think what we're telling people right now is that, you know, 20 years ago, you had time. We're running quickly out of time to do anything. And for the states that are experiencing this catastrophic drought, which is basically, I think they're calling it a 1,000-year drought, that you better start acting soon. And some of the things that you need to do right now, and I wouldn't make big news of it, but I would try to get any 55-gallon drums I could get and start filling them up with water. You can get these drums online, and you know, to have 500 to 1,000 gallons of water, you keep in mind you're not going to be moving these things, so you need to put them in a location that, first of all, people aren't going to see them. You don't want thirsty people seeing tons of water around. And so now's the time to start making sure that you have water to feed your family and to keep clean. With that said, you know, any water that I would use for washing, like doing a, you know, a military bath type thing with a washcloth, anything, I would make sure I save that water, because, you know, you can build a solar still. And they're very easy to build. You can go on YouTube and watch how to build them. But basically, you're just putting water in a container using the sun to evaporate it. And if you solar still that water a couple of times, you're going to have 100% pure drinking water. I mean, you know, just going up to the space station, you know, they kind of recycle their urine, if you know what I mean. It goes through a basic and electric still, and it distills the water. So all the nasty stuff that we don't want to think about when we drink it is taken out. So I would be very, very, careful on the water that I wasted. I would be also conscious of the fact that you have water in a toilet bowl, and the water in the tank in a toilet bowl is drinkable. The water inside the bowl itself, I would make sure I would, you know, filter that very well down to the viral level. But right now, I mean, you know, if you have a garden, it's all growing, it's going to be very difficult to grow stuff, because they're going to start putting water restrictions in. If you're caught with water being used in that manner, you're going to probably be fined severely. And so they're going to start monitoring your meter more. And they're going to make, you know, maybe one day on, one day off water. That you can't use water on certain days. If your street ends in even numbers, you can use water on certain days. If your house ends in odd numbers, you can use water on another day. There's all different kinds of ways to ration water, but I do see it coming. And I would just say to people, make sure that you store it. With that said, you know, you can take, there's a plethora of ways to keep your water from going bad. And when I say going bad, I mean developing bacteria, fungus, mold, you know, that type of stuff in it. Water itself does not go bad. You could store that water for 50 years, take it out, and as long as you filtered it, you know, you could drink it, because in itself, the H2O does not go bad. So it's just the stuff, the nasties that can grow in it. That can make you very, very ill, possibly even kill you. So, as a general rule of thumb, if I've stored water, even if I just put it in there and take it out next week, I am going to filter that water. You have to pay attention to regulations, but, you know, storing water, you don't have much rain, but, you know, rainwater collection, ground wells, if they're still operational, they could be monitored. So right now is the time that you'll want to make sure that you have adequate water. Going to the grocery store and picking up bottles of water that you can drink, caution. The 1 gallon containers of water, like the milk carton jugs of water, those are biodegradable plastic. All you have to do is go online and look at the little triangle symbol on the bottom of the thing, and it'll tell you the nature of that plastic. Milk jugs are very biodegradable plastic, meaning you can store for about 6 to 8 months before you have possibility of having them just start to biodegrade wherever you're storing and start leaking out, definitely within a year. So I would be very hesitant to store anything of any kind of long-term use in a milk jug. The plastic that you would store it in would be the ones that you buy, the Dasani or Aquafina or whatever you want to buy. I would just start getting as much of that as I could get. I mean, I would start storing it up. Also, one of the things I use to treat water with is I get pool shock. Now, when you get pool shock, the stuff you put in your pools, make sure you just get the pure calcium hypochlorite. And then there's instructions online. What you do is you make a precursor solution, like a tablespoon in a gallon of water, and, you know, shake it up real well. Then you just take a couple drops of that and put it in a gallon of water. And that will bacteriologically kill, you know, your microorganisms in the water, but it doesn't do anything for filtering it for chemicals or sediments. So that's a whole nother thing altogether in doing that. You know, the other thing people have to understand is that if you're trying to do this in the winter, and even in your Southwest, there's elevated parts in the Southwest where you do have freezing temperatures, water stored in containers that freezes will expand. So you'll notice that if you have it, like if you have a water filter that has water in it and it freezes, the filter has tried to expand with the water and it's probably cracked it. I wouldn't trust it anymore. So keeping a wet water filter Above freezing is absolutely critical to do. You don't want to spend your money on Berkey's or Lifesavers or, you know, drinking straws or whatever, and have water and then freeze and notice it's cracked. That would be not a good thing to have happen. And so there's all kinds of ways to keep something from freezing, and or keep one room in the house from freezing if you're subject to freezing temperatures. And you have any questions, Doug?
Yeah. So, you know, I have these things pulled up right here, water purification methods. And I'm just wondering, you know, they're all effective, but there's a difference for the backpacker and the difference for the household. So right off the bat, we have boiling. So the longer the water stays at a rolling boil, the more likely it is that any dangerous bacteria will be killed off, and the minimum suggested period of rolling boil is 10 minutes. It's recommended that highly effective at filtering protozoan, bacteria, giardia, and other forms of bacteria and viruses. So a rolling boil for 10 minutes is when you're most effective, right?
Yes. Well, I've heard 15 minutes, but if you can pressure cook it, it's even better, because you'll get the temperature above, and then you've really sterilized your water if you can get it above 212 degrees. If you're at elevation, keep in mind, if you're at 6,000 feet, your water is going to boil, what, at 190 degrees? So you're not going to even get it boiling at that point to where it's going to kill. You would need to probably put it in a pressure cooker so that you could clamp down that pressure and get to the temperature where it's going to kill everything. Because, I mean, you could check, I don't know if you could type it in right now, what's the boiling temperature of water at 6,000 feet. I think it's 190 something. So the 212 degrees is at sea level. And, you know, a lot of mountainous people out in the, you know, Southwest. So just keep that in mind. You're not reaching boiling temperature as far as real boiling temperature because of your elevated position. But yes, and as far as addressing the fact that, you know, a Berkey's great for your house, but a Berkey doesn't do anything for a backpacker. You're not going to tie that thing to your backpack and hike around with a Berkey on your back. You're going to need different things. I carry what's called a Jerry Lifesaver. That's the actual brand name, Lifesaver Jerry can on my truck. It's basically a heavy duty military grade plastic 20 liter jug. And I can go fill that up anywhere. Okay. Not salt water. The only two things it won't do is salt water and stuff, petrochemicals in it. So any kind of infection, whatever, I can fill that up. The thing in the filter you screw on, it actually has the filter element in it. The top that you screw on has the filter element in it. And so I don't have to filter the water at location. You know, if I'm using a drinking straw or a Katadyn pump, an MSR pump, I'm having to do that at location. And if water is in a crisis situation, water can be a very dangerous place to be at, because you're going to have other people and maybe even some larger animals all fighting for maybe dwindling water resources. So absolutely, that's the thing about Lifesaver. I can go and fill it up and haul butt out of there. And, you know, I can filter, because what it does, after you screw the lid on, you pump it up, it puts pressure in there, and it comes out without viruses, no bacteria, no spores, takes out the sediments and chemicals of the water. So it's really a very, very good thing. Also, there's another thing that we sell is the NOAA water filter. This is a portable water plant. And I don't want to sound like an infomercial. I'm just telling you the equipment's available. You can put this, has a hose. It runs on a 12-volt battery. It does, again, viruses, chemicals, sediments, all of it. And it'll make 60 gallons of water an hour, pure filtered water. You know, water everywhere and none to drink. So that's the last situation you want to be in, or being forced to drink dirty water, because even the U.S. military says waterborne diseases will be the number one thing when you have a collapse of a society, because people are going to drink water. I mean, I can go a long time without eating food, but I, you know, 3 days and I'm dead. So yeah, People are going to start drinking water that's questionable. And then also I have people and this is very important, and I wanted to go and just take some time with it. Well, what do I do if I live on the ocean? What about salt water? Do you know what a carboy is? It's the big 5 gallon jug that you use to make wine in. Okay. It's a glass jug you can make wine in. Well, if you get a cork for that and you know, you get a piece of copper and make a coil. Okay. You can actually paint that thing a dark color, put it out in the sun. And as the water evaporates, the steam goes through that coil, which recondensates it, and it comes out fresh drinking water. It's a solar still. very easy to do. Again, YouTube is filled with how to make solar stills. So if I'm living on the ocean and, you know, I've got, you know, all that water there and I want to be able to drink it, you could set yourself up with a couple solar stills that are going to make it be enough for drinking. It's not going to be something that you're going to be taking showers with, but it's definitely going to keep, you know, the thirst away from your body. You can use less clean water if you needed to, you know, to wipe down with, because that's the other thing. A lot of people, they think, oh, I've got to drink water, but you know, unless you're keeping clean, if you're dirty, sweaty, dirty, and you're not being bathed properly, all kinds of fungus on your skin, dirt, and you can eventually end up with some pretty nasty stuff because you're not bathing correctly. So it's not just the water for drinking, it's the water for hygiene that you're going to need as well. But as I said, you know, drinking water, you want to have pretty, pretty clean. I could jump in a lake and wash off if I had to, a stream, and feel fairly good about doing it. I've done it before. I've been out hiking and just jumped in a stream and washed. I wouldn't necessarily drink that water, but I definitely could bathe in it. And bathing is going to be important. Now, what is it? Las Vegas right now is down to 30 days of water.
Yeah.
I don't know what restrictions, they're going to be called water hoarders or whatever, but, I would definitely be going to the store and buying as many cases of water as I could. I'd learn how to ration the water. If I had, and I think this is another important point, if I had to do work outside, Doug, I would wait till the sun goes down. If I'm working in a garden or a yard, something like that, I would wait till, I wouldn't go out there at 12 o'clock when, you know, me, I'm a sweater. I go outside and just water pours out of me. I would go out after the sun goes down or early in the morning before that real brutal temperature comes out and starts cooking you to death and, you know, baking off all the water in your body. I would do outside chores at night or early in the morning, before the heat really gets to me, and then do that so that when you reduce your water usage, if you can still have electricity and you can get inside of a cool room, you do need to cool down, because I think you're going to see a lot of people when they have water deprivation, heat stroke is going to become a more and more common thing. And you're going to have it's not going to be pretty. I think our nation's under judgment, and that's what I can say. And, you know, be warned. I mean, yeah. Even if you don't buy the stuff from me, be warned. I mean, I'm not asking you to buy, you know, cases of 24 Dasanis from me or Aquafinas, but I would definitely be out right now buying all the water I could get.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to think, you need to have a gallon of water a day per person, per family.
Minimum.
And then you need to have water set aside for, you know, cooking purposes, the hygiene purposes. Let me tell you something. In Iraq, when we were gifted shower trailers, which was just amazing, within about a month, they got mortared because, you know, that's just a morale killer. But we were doing, you know, baby wipe baths, taking bottles of water and putting them in a milk crate on the top of a roof, and had our engineers set up to where we'd undo the bottles of water and just slowly pour it over us and then back. And, you know, you get that twice, once to scrub and once to wash off, and you're done, kicked out. So it sucks. And you will get filthy. You will get sick if you don't bathe regularly. And let me, you know, let me give a little bit of a wives' tale out to people, a word of warning. Just because water is flowing over a stream or over a river, does that mean that it is now filtered? I remember my grandfather telling me that garbage on the cattle ranch years and years ago. And, you know, as stupid kids, we would drink right out of the stream, where the cows are drinking out of the stream, and up the stream from there, the hogs made a waller, you know, and that's how, you know, foot and mouth disease comes in. Back in the day, especially, these outbreaks still happen in Africa, as you and I well know, cholera. Cholera is typically spread through the water well. It's a killer. It's when you're in a period of dehydration, cholera causes advanced symptoms of a fever, dehydration comes through the fever, through vomiting, through diarrhea. I mean, pretty much it's vomiting, diarrhea, you die, you know, unless you find a very common, easy cure for it. And cholera is relatively easily curable. It's easily treatable, but you have to treat the water. So once again, that's why we're telling people, you know, if you find yourself in that situation where I'm just going to go scoop my hand in the water from the stream, you're taking yourself at a major risk by doing that, because the amount of bacteria and viruses from animals, from decomposing animals that are inside that water is just, it's bad. I remember when I was stationed in Hawaii, they stressed, do not drink the water from the waterfalls because of the amount of the local pig population. And pigs will walk, they'll find the water, they'll wallow in it, they'll defecate in it, they'll urinate in it, and they're filthy animals, you know. And then, you know, a mile down the stream, you're over here playing with your buddies, drinking the water, and you don't know what's going on upstream. So, you know, just real quick, the six simple ways of purifying water: boiling, filtration, chlorine, iodine, purification tablets or drops, and then we have the combination of filtering and disinfection.
So, and then you got a distillation in there also.
Yes.
The solar distiller is a very, very good tool, and you can build one from almost anything. And for the people on saltwater, you can even, I mean, you can do fresh water the same way, but solar distilling water, making fresh water from seawater is would be a very critical thing to do, because, I mean, there's a big coast around America and all that salt water there, and people are going to want to drink it. But if you know how to distill it, and, you know, you're going to get some valuable minerals out of it when you clean it out, because what's left behind is all the salts and you know, stuff that your body does need, but not in the measure that'll be in there. So you're going to have that, but solo distilling it. And I've done it with a carboy before. Carboy is like a 5-gallon glass jug, and you just cork the top with a coil on it. And as the water evaporates, it goes through that coil, and the coil condensates and it drips out as clean drinking water.
Occasionally moonshine as well.
Well, occasionally moonshine.
The worm and the thumper.
We live in Tennessee. It's not occasionally here, I don't think, you know.
That's commerce.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about what happens all the time, Bob, whenever people lose power, when people don't have food. Water, I honestly think, is a more significant stressor. I mean, if you lost power and you don't have the ability, like me, our farm has a well. So if we lose power and I don't have a generator, which I do, and I don't have the ability to get the water out of the ground, if you were having to scavenge, where would be the most common places besides large bodies of water, which is where, hey, just like, you know, in the Sahara, that's where the crocodiles and the lions meet the antelope and the zebra. Where would you scavenge water carefully? And I want to say this before I shut up. The life straws, good devices, they work. You know, anything where you're having to sit there, like the Katadyn pumps, good devices, they work. Anything where you're having to put your eyes on the water and not look in your situational awareness, your back is against the enemy, is not safe. If you're going to do that, do it in pairs. Don't do it by yourself. If you have to do it by yourself, I would say collect your water at night.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of operation at night, which goes as, it just brings up the question of these over and over and over again. I did a program today with somebody, and we were just talking about the need for those and thermal. Is that I can go out and operate at night when it's going to be cooler. The sun's not beating down on me, so I can operate in a cooler environment. But I've been in places, I mean, you know, I remember I was training with John Lovell one time, and we were doing a night op. And, man, I had my Camelback filled, and it was brutal outside. And, man, you could suck that thing down. I think it was 3 quarts or something like that I had in there. Man, you really had to watch it, because you could suck that thing down in just 15 minutes. It was all gone. Yeah. Again, pacing yourself in an environment that's naturally hot, to a place where it's not quite as hot, and that's definitely from day to night, pacing yourself in that environment. You know, but again, nothing beats preparation. Nothing beats the fact that you go out right now and buy the water and put it in your house and store it.
And I want to speak on this real quick, because you hit something that's very important. You drank your Camelback in about 15 to 30 minutes. When we were in operations in Iraq, it's like 130, 140 degrees. It's ridiculously hot. You know, set your stove on to 140 and open it up about 20 minutes later. That's what it felt like every day. Yeah. And you know those temperatures, Bob. I don't need to say it to you. You know, 100 degrees at night sleeping, you're sweating constantly. You're losing the sodium value that's inside your blood, that's inside your vessels and your veins. Your veins start to collapse because you're being dehydrated, which means if you're dehydrated, you can't get a proper IV, right? So that's why being hydrated is so dang important. But you can get climatized to that environment. After about 2 months, we got to where all we needed was a bottle of water in our pocket for a 4 to 5, 6 hour patrol and just a little bit of extra water on us, and we were fine. But that, you know, that first stop in Kuwait, that's when they're telling you you're drinking like 2 gallons of water a day. And then your first month or two in Iraq, you're drinking 1.5 to 2 gallons of water a day. And then your body starts to get acclimatized to it. Now, that means in your home, in this type of heat, you need to be drinking water now. You don't need to be dehydrated when you run out of water. You need to be hydrated now. And I say that for this main reason, all right? A lot of people, Bob, they say, you know, here's me once again being a hypocrite, drinking an energy drink. But between the energy drinks, the Cokes, and the alcohol, you will destroy your body's ability to be properly hydrated, which means cognitive function goes down, your decision-making goes down, the way your body processes food becomes highly irritable. It can affect everything, your heart. It can affect everything. So being properly hydrated now, before the crisis comes, is the game changer.
Yeah, and again, like you said, alcohol is absolutely probably one of the worst things you can drink. Caffeine doesn't do you any good. But as your blood volume goes down, your heart has to work more. Your chance of stroke goes up because your blood's thicker. It's harder to pump through. So keeping properly hydrated is critical. And the other rule is this. If you have minimal water, do not eat food. Your body is going to take a lot of water to process that food through it. And so I would rather not eat and drink water and let that water do what it needs to do in my body rather than use it for digestion. And so, you know, eating, you know, your big meal, you might like it, but it's going to take a lot of water to process that food out of your body. So I would be eating minimally, if anything at all, you know, or if eventually you're going to have to eat, but eat minimally and use just the water that you need to process that food, because again, the more you eat, the more water your body's going to take. So the survival rule number one, at least for the first 3 days, if I didn't have any water, I would not be eating any food.
Yeah. And another thing, I would tell people to make sure you have a lot of electrolytes on hand.
Yeah.
Liquid IV is one of the ones that we were issued in the government, and it works really well. Liquid IV works. Drip drop is another one that works really well. It probably is the most tasty out of the other two. But you know, Gatorade's not bad. Just make sure you're staying clear of the stuff that is filled full of sugar.
Yeah, sugar's going to make you thirsty. Yeah. So sugary drinks like that are not. You can get a lot of powder electrolyte drinks today that might have sucralose in it or something other than sugar. That gives a little sweet flavor, but you know, getting all those micronutrients back into your body are going to be absolutely critical, because if you're out there working and you don't, even if you've drank water, you're going to go to bed at night. And I don't know if you've had one of those horrendous leg cramps where you feel like, you know, you're in some ancient Middle Eastern torture device, and your leg is just cramping. It's just like you're screaming in pain. Well, that's definitely the way to cause it to happen, is not to replace your electrolytes. Plus, you can cause heart defibrillation and all other things of that nature, because your heart's not getting the three salts it needs to make it operate.
Well,
your body operates on three salts.
And there's a tactical decision-making process here. If you're having to move from one place to another and you're moving at night, or let's say, you know, you just happen to sleep at night, whatever, and you're dehydrated and you get one of those hell-bent cramps. I've had them before. They're horrible. And you scream out, you just let everybody know where you're at.
Yeah, you can't do that. You just got to grin and bear it. Grin and bear it, but frown and bear it, whatever you do. But yeah, so doing those things are critical, because, again, we are seeing the breakdown of our country in every aspect, our economy, our politics. I was doing a program today and they were saying civil war. And, you know, anybody who's ever seen war before up close and personal realizes it's not something I want. I mean, I want to live at peace. I don't want to go out there and do that, but they're forcing it upon us. We've been noticing a trend just from different intelligence sources, is now that Antifa and ISIS and all these are infiltrating small towns. So they're going out doing their dirty stuff out there. And, you know, every way it can be broken down, it's going to be broken down, because when these crises happens, these type of people know where your infrastructure's at. They know where your cable crossings are at. They know where the transmission towers are at. They know where the power stations are at, where the big transformers are at. They know all that. And they're going to add misery to it. And so, you know, this is what you're going to have to plan for. They already say they're going to do it. We see that they've done it in the big cities where they've taken over. They just start destroying infrastructure very quickly. Doug, we're in a real crisis in our nation right now, a real bad place. And you can decide, do I want it bad or do I want it extra bad? Because the unprepared are going to have it unbelievably bad. I mean, they've not even taken the thought of maybe I should get some extra water in my home. You know, You know, if you have those quart bottles and you drink, that's four a day just from drinking four. You know, so if you buy a 12 pack, that's only 3 days worth of water. Just think about how much water you're going to need. It is always the weak point in everybody's preps. Now, fortunately, if you have a spring fed pond on your property, or you have we have a deep well on our property, and I have one of the old time hand pumps, so I can pump it out of the ground there. Not the best, not the fastest in the world, but it pumps out nice clean water. So if electricity goes down, everything goes down, you know, you're going to have it. And those people on wells, if, you know, push comes to shove, there's a thing called a well bucket. So if your electricity goes down and you're on a well, there's a way to get water out of your well. And that's just to get a piece of PVC 3 inch or so, you know, and put a check valve on the bottom. Now the check valve, when it hits the water, opens. When you try to pull it up, it closes. So you get it on kind of backwards from the way you might normally think. And then you put a bolt through the top, drop it down with a rope. When it gets into the water, it's going to fill up and you can just pull it right back out. That check valve is closed and you can pull water out of your well that way. No electricity needed. It's called a well bucket. Now we sell them and make them, but you can build one yourself fairly inexpensively and do that. And I would also probably consider getting a pulley, because pulling it up like this, you know, is going to be fun to do, especially if it's 200 or 300 feet down. You're going to want to definitely have a pulley to do it. Build a little tripod over your well and put a pulley up there, then use you know, the advantageous, you know, force multiplier that a pulley gives. So those are some of the things I would definitely look at doing. It's really time to make this assessment. And on top of that, we've also mentioned, you know, as water goes down, the threat from fire, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised, Antifa, they threaten to use fire.
They have.
Starts fires. They've been caught setting forest on fire. They've been caught doing it.
Yeah, when we were operating up in the Northwest, we were getting reports of Antifa was taking chainsaws to telephone poles. And this was 2020, 2021, taking chainsaws to telephone poles. We know that part of the big fire that happened in Washington and then into Oregon and spread over to Idaho and Montana, unfortunately, was actually caused by Antifa. They won't fully come out, but, you know, the intel is there. So you have groups like the ELF. That's the Ecological Liberation Front, whatever the hell they call themselves nowadays. They're always saying that fire is one of the best ways that they can use the ecological terrorism. You know, what would be, let's say, and I mean, right now I'm shocked, Bob, that we don't have the wildfires that we normally have this time of year. I would expect, you know, we had had some really bad ones so far, but we've been blessed not to, but they're probably coming. What would be the average thing that you would give people who are in the path of the wildfire? What can they do to take care of themselves? How should they prep? And should they stay and fight the fire with their water hose, or should they just pack up and leave?
Well, I mean, fighting a forest fire with a water hose is not a winning proposition.
There are people who die every year doing it.
Yeah. If you don't have a major, you know, fire engine hose, 3-inch hose or something, in fact, you're not going to even make a dent in it. That water is going to evaporate long before it even hits the fire where it does any good. It's just going to turn into steam 100 feet away from the core of the fire. And so, you know, the things you can do is make sure you do a fire assessment. You can get them online. Make sure there's nothing that burns in your yard. Make sure you keep all that stuff out of your yard. If you can, I don't know what your HOAs or whatever, if you can cut down a tree line, I wouldn't want, you know, trees right by my house if I'm in a high fire zone. So that you can keep that at bay. Granted, a huge forest fire, you're probably going to lose your home. But, you know, if it's minor, you can prevent trees from around your house catching on fire. You can use a hose to keep your roof wetted down so that embers do not start it on fire. That's where metal roofs are always the best. You know, shingle roof is okay. They're generally fire resistant. But if you have a cedar roof, shake roof or something like that, my gosh, that's just a tinderbox waiting to happen. Ceramic tile roofs are good. But to that effect, also having a good quantity of fire extinguishers, you know, if water is in short supply, you might want to have some fire extinguishers around to put out. I always recommend getting a Halotron. You can't get Halon anymore. If it's inside, Halotron is a gas. I don't know if you've ever torched off one of those powder fire extinguishers in a home. You never get that powder out of everything. It'll take an electrostatic charge and it'll get inside of every piece of electronics you have and cleaning it up. It's also a respiratory danger. So if I was cleaning it up, I would definitely want to have a mask on so I don't breathe that powder in. But you light one of those things off, and I mean, boy, oh boy, that powder goes everywhere. It's microfine. It does its job, but you really do make a mess with them. So they're great for outside, but I wouldn't want to use one inside. Halotron, they're a lot more expensive, but it puts a gas so that you actually take the oxygen away from the fire and it goes out very quickly. It suffocates the fire. But I would have as many of those as I could have around. We have one, you know, almost in every room in the house. I have a fire extinguisher, and I did have a fire one time in my comm room. And fortunately, you know, I had a bunch of fire extinguishers put it out. The other thing too, is keep in mind that if you have fire extinguishers in your kitchen and your kitchen's on fire, the fire extinguishers might not be any good. They might be too hot to handle. So make sure you have fire extinguishers outside your kitchen. You know, the fire blankets are always good, that you can just pull a fire blanket down and throw it over a fire. I have those everywhere. So I you know, I can put a fire out quickly. But keep that in mind. I just want to say that again. If you plan on maybe having to put a kitchen fire out, make sure that you have fire extinguishers and fire suppression tools and techniques outside the kitchen, because the last thing you want to do is go grab those fire extinguishers and have them be 150 degrees because it's next to a fire and you burn your hands doing it. And you can't use them. Or the hose melts. So just make sure you take that into consideration, that you have a fire extinguisher outside to where you can get to it, to where your points of fire would be at. You know, just take that into consideration, because Antifa says that. And I know that fire is their friend. They're going to burn you out.
Well, I remember a little bit of intel that we got years ago. That Antifa was saying that they were going to start going out to the farmlands, to cattle ranches, and they were going to set the hay bales on fire. They were going to set the hay barns on fire. And even to the extent that they may try to kill or injure cattle. Now, honestly, Bob, all you really have to do is just set the edge of the wood line on fire, depending on the wind, and let let nature do its job.
A wheat field. When the wheat field's dry, or if you're doing corn, where the corn dries on the stalk, you can light it on fire and it'll just turn into a huge fire right away. And so these people are well adapted, these terrorist techniques. They're being trained by, world-class terrorists on how to do this stuff. Again, it goes to the need of preparation with night vision and thermal. You know, if I see somebody trying to light something on fire, I'm not going to treat it well. You know, if you want to play gasoline and matches, be prepared to pay the price for it, especially in a crisis situation. You be prepared to pay the price, because that's not something that's going to go over well. It's so easy to get, fuel today, gasoline, diesel fuel, whatever you want to get, that they can stockpile that and use it to burning things down, including yourself. So fire suppression tools are very, very important.
Hey, one thing that I do consider, and I've thought about this myself, I haven't tested it, and I don't know the practical application for it, but you can get field sewage draining kits, just a water draining pump and a water line pushed out, and you can drain a stream, a pond, and push that water from one end of your property to the other. But one of the things that I've actually considered is that you can get the, big 100 to 500 gallon tractor trailer. Well, actually you can pull it by an ATV, but a trailer mounted water trailer. All right, it's got a big 500 gallon to, I think some of them are as small as 100, 150 gallon tank on there. And if you just had one of those little, water ejection generators, man, I could just throw a hose into it and run it right through it and bring water to where I need to. But even then, 150 gallons of water, 500 gallons of water, if your house is on fire, maybe that'll work. But the wood line, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to even make a dent. And I got asked this question last year, Bob, when the fires got really bad in Arizona and New Mexico. And I was talking to a lady who, she owned a ranch, and she was right in the path of two different fires. And I said, listen, lady, the best thing you can do is let your cows and horses go. Hopefully you can collect them later and get your stuff and get out of Dodge. I would already have my stuff packed now. I wouldn't, some people really, that's all they have. All they have is that home. All they have is that farm, and they'll fight tooth and nail for it, but you're not going to win from a forest fire.
No, unless you have an underground shelter that has sealed valves on it, because if you have an underground shelter that has air going into it, it'll suck the air right out of that shelter and you'll suffocate to death. It happened to Germans that went down to the subway during firebombing. It just sucked and burned all the air out, and they suffocated. So you actually need a bomb shelter, some type of shelter underground with some type of blast valve or valve that you can close off so that the air does not be used to feed a fire outside. And then you could basically weather it underground, 4 feet underground if you had a sealed container. But keep in mind that once you start breathing the air inside and it's sealed, you don't have any new air coming in. You have a very limited time, depending on the size of it, how long you can stay down there before the CO2 starts to get toxic and you would have to come out. So you better think this through really well before you decide to do things. It's all we always read every year. The guy whose power went off and he brought a charcoal heater inside, the outdoor, and lit the charcoal on fire to keep his house warm, and he dies from carbon monoxide poisoning. That's something you don't want to have. But if you had an underground bomb shelter that had a sealed thing, you could stay down there for a while fire passes. Yes. Ride out the fire. But other than that, you better get out of its way, because it's unmerciful. Even if you get into a pond, and you tried to stay underwater in the pond, you're going to get boiled alive. I mean, it's just, maybe if you had scuba gear and could go down 30 feet and stay 2 hours there while the fire burnt. Yeah, maybe. But if you tried, if you jump in water and get out, that fire is just going to turn that water into steam and roast you like a hot dog.
Yeah.
So it's something that doesn't fare very well.
Yeah. And but these forest fires, they're getting to the 1,000+ degrees.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive that.
You get one that's having wind, like in Dresden, the fires got up to 2,500 degrees. It created a firestorm. All the air everywhere around it was just being sucked into it and acted like a huge blast furnace. So it was melting steel. I mean, that's how hot it can get. And so, try to do everything you can do to mitigate the threat. But at the end of the day, if it's going to happen, it's not worth your life. Get in your car, take your valuables, and get gone before it comes your way. We had catastrophic fires up in Gatlinburg about 5 years ago. I saw people driving through them. Oh my gosh. It's like, I'm driving through 30 gallons of gas with, fire all around me. I don't know. No, thank you. Yeah. But they did it and God watched out over them and they got out of it. But I mean, they were in a firestorm driving through and I'm just afraid your tires would melt, whatever would happen. And at that time, again, radio communication, because, the transmission towers, the ones that your cell phone works on, all those things are going to burn down and you're not going to have any cell phone service. That's why, handheld radios are so important. Contact point A to point B. There's no wires that need to connect them. You can talk to neighbors with handheld radios, even after the cell phone tower is burned down and you can't talk to them with your cell phone. Again, going back to the necessity of having hand operated radios.
Yeah. So. It's one of those things that we I think we're all guilty with this, with preparing for the end times and whatever the flavor of the apocalypse is. The firestorm is the one I don't want to be a part of. That's the one that, no thanks. Me personally, I'm packing my necessities as I know the fires approach, be contacting my volunteer fire department or my city. And I'll be asking, where the wind's blowing? Is it coming my direction? I'm going to have all my stuff packed. And the moment they say evacuate, I'm gone. I'm absolutely gone.
I don't want to become a crispy critter, a burnt offering, whatever. We take it seriously. But there's a lot we can do to mitigate the threat. And so we want to do that up front. The fire suppression techniques, fire blankets, and also being able to treat people that have had burn injury. A lot of people don't understand that one of the major things you die from with a burn injury is dehydration. Mm-hmm. You have an open wound. There's no skin holding the water in anymore. It's been burnt off. And you have to treat that really quickly and get that covered with something so that dehydration does not become a problem. Infection is also a huge problem. You can look up lavender oil, 100% cold pressed organic lavender oil. Don't buy the brand X type because it's probably fake. Just add something that smells like lavender in it. But lavender oil is more effective than morphine at taking burn pain. I know from firsthand experience that. Plus, it's highly antimicrobial, which keeps the microbes down. It won't stop the fact that if you have burnt skin, you have to cut it off. It's called debriding the burn, and that can be very, very painful. Screaming at the top of your lungs, painful. I'd want somebody to give me some fentanyl or something to knock me out if they were doing that to me. But if you didn't have that, then whatever. Keeping that wound closed where infection can't get into, dehydration can't occur, because that's the big thing. Your body just dehydrates.
That'd be a wet dressing.
Yeah, something gel, a gel type dressing. They make burn gel, makes it one that you can put on a wound, and it's a jelly like compound that helps hold the moisture into your body. And again, going back to making sure the person stays hydrated, it's absolutely necessary because they're going to lose water at a lot quicker rate. So those are just some of the things that you take into consideration as we see the manifestation of judgment on this nation more and more. We see the food supply being attacked. We see our electrical grid being attacked. I mean, I just thought it was amazing that, they say that the Southwest is going to experience brownouts this summer. And all of a sudden, there's a bomb goes off or some type of electrical explosion goes off at Hoover Dam. I don't know how much it degraded the ability to make electricity, but if they don't have any water soon, they won't be making it anyhow. So it's just, the electrical grid, the communication grid, food supply, water supply, all these things we see happening to this nation right now. And you know, the foolish, the foolhardy can go on and just say whatever they want to do. It's always this is that. They'll be able to take care of us. The government will watch out over us, supply for us, whatever. But it's not going to happen. These people have proven one thing. The only person they're concerned about is themselves.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only people they're concerned about. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's insider stock trading deal on the chip deal. I mean, that's what they're looking out for. They're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't care about you. That money that goes from the government coffers into those stock companies, the stock companies go up. It's a direct result of taxpayer money. So they're basically stealing taxpayer money through insider trading. They don't care about you. If they cared about you, would they be sending $40 billion to Ukraine while Americans are suffering? They don't care. So it's left up to you to care and take care of your family and, you know, food, water, communication, protection. All those things are going to come into play, I think, in the next year or so in this country, as we are in a full-fledged Marxist takeover of this nation. There's fighting back, and it could quickly turn kinetic. I mean, I think we could be in a kinetic action where we have actual two sides in this nation fighting each other, or three sides, or four sides. I mean, because right now there are so many different factions in this nation where we used to be monolithic. We're not monolithic anymore. And so you can have religious groups fighting each other. You can have political groups fighting each other. You can have economic groups fighting each other. You can have, you know, environmental groups fighting each other, fighting whatever. It's just we have built a perfect storm in this nation, and it's coming home to roost. And I just say this, God is always faithful and warning his people ahead of time that judgment is coming. Judgment is here. Get ready for it. Ignore it. But, you know, I always tell people the parable of the 10 virgins. The five wise virgins who stored extra oil did not give their oil to the foolish ones. I won't have enough. Hey, lady, I don't have enough. Go get your own. And at that time, it was too late to go get more. Yes. So, you just take it for what it's worth. If you can be foolish, it's your right to be foolish. Nobody's going to stop you. But if you're HBO or, you know, you're whatever you spend your money on, satellite dish, beer, cigarettes, whatever, are more important than your family's food and water necessities. And, you know, who am I to argue with you? But don't come to me when you've been foolish begging for something. And I realize I have enough to take care of my family, and that's it. I mean, just realize that's going to be the case. And you're going to probably not fare well.
And, you know, we're going through a recession right now, even though that definition was changed by the White House.
Yeah, we redefined it. It's not a recession. It's technically not a recession. For 50 years, that's been the definition of a recession. And I guarantee you, if Donald Trump was in office and he had two quarters of negative growth, the recession would be, you know, they'd land spacecraft on the moon just to announce it. Yeah. They'd be beaming stuff out to Hubble Space Telescope. Recession. Donald Trump, red-haired man, orange man. But now Joe Biden, it's not a recession.
Listen to this. Customers, the bank called Customers Bank is closing more than half of its Pennsylvania branches amid the digital push. I told this story a couple shows ago, but I went to my bank, and it's not this bank, but I went to my bank, and they told the bank teller who was there told me that we will be going to a digital currency come next year. The planned economic collapse they're expecting with the housing collapse kind of to be within the same area is around February. All right. Yeah. So, you know,
I mean, and that means no, excuse me. That means you can't buy any more food because they'll control food supply through economic digital currency. Oh, you can't buy it. You're not in the right group to buy it. You've already bought it for the month. Whatever it'll be, they'll control how much you can buy. So you'll just be able to buy just what you need to basically subside on. So that day, the prepping is over. It's over. And you know, it's not hyperbole. I'm not doing hyperbole. It's over. Because they're going to quickly use it to control every aspect of our lives. I mean, you know, I'm just reading now. Good grief. I mean, they're talking about taxing relations between men and women. I've read an article coming out of the Great Economic Forum concerning that. I mean, it's like, good grief, Hunter Biden could probably pay off the national debt if he paid his taxes on that one.
Well, you know, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, the emperor himself, the evil emperor, he came out this week and he was talking about how people need to let go of their cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw you. Now, these people won't stop until we are under their thumb completely. And once we're under their thumb, they're just going to smush us. That's why important to prepare.
It's Luciferian, because Lucifer wants to dehumanize humanity. He's envious of the position God put humanity in. And so he wants to dehumanize us, disgrace us. I mean, in every way that we can, put down a human being, he wants to do so. We're groveling just for basic necessities and having, these Luciferian leaders over us, enjoying the degradation they inflict upon us. I mean, they already like doing it now. I mean, they're getting into it. They like having people grovel to them. They want everybody groveling to them, but please, give me what I need, help, and that's what they get into. I mean, it's like the serial killer. If you ever read the serial killer, like I read Ted Bundy, what he got into was the women pleading. He got into that. It turned him on. Help, don't hurt me. I'll do whatever. That pleading, and it's like that was a big thrill for him.
There's an element of power. Yeah, I've actually read the same book. There's and law enforcement, depending on which academy you go to, they actually break down the psychology of psychopaths and serial killers, mass murderers, assassins, and that vulnerability and the ability to have control and power over somebody and to manipulate emotions. That's what these elitists that we're talking about, they like to do. They're of the same mindset of Ted Bundy. They love to starve people.
Exactly. I mean, they're sociopaths. They're psychotic sociopaths.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're cowards. Yep. And they're cowards. I mean, they'll never send. They'll never go. Their children don't go off to war. They don't go off to war. They send you off to war. Mm-hmm. They don't come to your house and arrest you. They send the police to arrest you because they're cowards. They just want to dehumanize people. This is what it's all about. Dehumanizing us and making us grovel for them, because it empowers them to do more. And the more power we give to them, the lust for power grows and grows, and they just get into it more and more, where they just become the absolute serial killer that loves us begging and pleading and groveling and crying and whining just to, don't hurt me, that type of thing. And, it's about time we just tell these people, that no, we're not doing it anymore. Not doing it. No.
Yeah. And once again, that's why I think community preparedness is so big. I think it's a big part of how we survive as a people. Individual preparedness, obviously, teaching your children how to be in the preparedness mindset, getting in shape, getting your training, praying, getting your preps in order while you got them.
Let me say something, Doug. Community training, community preparedness is not communal preparedness. We don't throw everything into a big bucket and everybody gets to pull out what they need. That's right. Not what I'm talking about. If I have stuff at Ready Made Resources, I am going to open it up to the community, but I'm not going to give it away. There's going to be an exchange system where people feel like they have to earn it in some way or another. There will be a level of charity that we do experience, but it's not a commune. It's not communal living. It's community living, to where that each person is still the individual. Each person still has the talents that you pay them for doing. You work within that. I still pay the people for gardening and get what they want, even if it's by my labor or whatever I have to negotiate to get what he has. It's not like we just take it all and put it in a big bucket and everybody gets what they want. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about community preparedness. That I just want to make that really clear. That is not what we're talking about.
What we're talking about is
the community. Yeah, when it's Jamestown, 1611 Jamestown, 1611 Jamestown. That's what we're talking about. Everybody in the community, each individual puts into the community what their bills, but they get reimbursed for it. There's payments somehow of exchange of commerce. You set up an economy, even if it's a local economy. You set up that economy to where you have people, a carpenter doing this, a mechanic, whatever it is. They're working, the guy giving the food, and that's how we talk about setting it up. But we don't. It's not just the communal thing, like the 1960s hippies that went off into the desert and lived as a commune. Everything was in common, including the women. That's not what we're talking about. It's community living, not communal living.
That's right. Hey, we got just a couple minutes left. Can you let people know what are probably some of the most preferred items that you're selling right now? Things maybe running out of stock.
Well, we have the Lifesaver Jerry Can, the one I mentioned. We got a bunch of blue ones in, you know, like they're water blue. And Amazon sells them, I think, for $349. We have them on sale for this week for $275. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good savings with that if you get the blue one. Now, the other colors are still the more expensive ones, but the blue ones are $275, and that includes the shipping. We have some Berkeys in stock. We have the Sawyer mini filters, the drinking straw, and I prefer the Sawyer. I think it's a wonderful filter. All that's in stock. We have different ways to treat water in stock, but people can call me and I'll walk through their plan with them. 800-627-3809. We still have an adequate supply of Nods in stock and thermal. Especially in a drought situation, I'm going to want to be out at night working at night, and those Nods come in very, very handy to see what and who's around me.
Hey, I had a question on the Nods real quick. Is the financing available for Nods?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can get a good PVS 14 for about $125 to $150 a month, depending on your credit score. So you can get a premium grade, military grade night vision, which you're going to see white phosphor auto gated. You can see hundreds and hundreds of yards away for, you know, $150 a month, say, if you finance it online. Just when you're checking out, just go click the pay over time button. And, we'll get it to you. And the good thing is you get it right away. It's not like a layaway program where you got to finish paying it off before you get it. You get the night vision right away. And so you'll have it in your hand, because I just think it's going to be, I think the people that thought, well, it's too expensive for this, I don't need it, and whatever, I think they're going to really regret when they figure out that I need this. And you do need it. Absolutely. Hands down, need it.
Absolutely.
It's not even an option to think about. You need it. Because you're going to have a bad element out at night, and you're going to have to mitigate that.
Yeah. Yeah. There is an absolute reason why in the military we use it. It's on your person at all times, and there's a reason for that, because it is the game changer to own the night. It really is.
Yes.
All right. That's all we got for you guys right now. Make sure you stop over at readymaderesources.com. Give Bob a call if you have any questions. Also, I'm going to be teaching a active shooter awareness and reaction course out at Ready Made Resources. That's going to be the first weekend of September. So that's a Labor Day weekend. So that's going to be second, third, and fourth. If you want to join, please join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a tremendous amount of training that's going to be there within those 3 days. A lot of medical, a lot of tactical, a lot of shooting, but a lot of thinking, a lot of scenario-based training and hands-on stuff. No pressure. We're not yelling at people. This isn't a boot camp. Me and Jamie Walden are going to be there. We're going to be walking people through. And it's for people of all different types of experiences, from the very basic beginner to the most advanced special forces astronaut jumping plumber. I don't care who it is. If you need the training, come train. We're going to do a lot of fellowship while we're there, and you're not going to walk away feeling like you just wasted your money. You're going to walk away knowing.
Yeah, the after action reports are going to be good. When you can actually just sit down and talk with you and Jamie and, you know, just have night discussions, that's going to be a phenomenal tool. They can go to my website, readymaderesources.com. Right at the top, there's a banner that says training. Click that. It'll take you to the course. You can pay for it online. And I just want to know, we do have the built into it. It's a $50 classroom fee that I have to run the generators and get Porter Johns and all that gone. So that I have that for those, but, they get the $600 goes right to them. And so you're going to help support two good guys, Doug Thornton and Jamie Walden. Plus learn an incredible amount of stuff, which I think will save your life in the days to come.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you very much for coming on with me today. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug Thornton. This is Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. We're out of here. Stay frosty.
all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.